Daniel Breaker, it is such a thrill to be talking to you because, among other things, you are my Aaron Burr. The man I saw play Aaron Burr for the first time live here in Chicago in the tour of Hamilton. But in addition to starring in Passing Strange, the musical, and Aaron Burr, and possibly being most well known for originating the role of Donkey in Shrek the Musical, is playing the soulful, relatively quiet priest in Judgment Day. A nice break to let Jason Alexander do all the comic heavy lifting.
Yes, I mean, like, this role is the Adirondack chair of acting. It's just like relaxed. At ease. I set him up. Jason knocks him down.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 18th year, number 912, Daniel Breaker's Judgment. Tony nominee Daniel Breaker is in Chicago performing the role of Father Michael in the world premiere of Judgment Day, Rob Ulin's comedy about a slimy lawyer played by Seinfeld's Jason Alexander, who, after a near-death experience and encounter with a terrifying angel, resolves to turn his life around and do way better unto others than he's been doing. Daniel's character is undergoing his own crisis of faith, and his scenes with Jason's character are one of the play's highlights, so I was very excited to talk to Daniel about how this character differed from some of the other roles that he's played. When you begin rehearsals for Judgment Day, or maybe even before, do you know that going in? I know that you're married to a quite well-known and successful director. Do you know this kind of thing going in, what your function is in a play, in a script, to know that you are the quote-unquote straight man?
I mean, it sort of depends. I mean, I think with this play, you get an idea of where you think it may go. But this particular project, because it's a comedy, a lot of stuff is discovered in the rehearsal room. Yeah. And then even more is discovered that first week of audiences. And that is sort of the same case for dramatic plays or musicals as well. But it's much more immediate and palpable when it comes to a comedy. So what I was thinking was funny on the page when I was reading it and doing work before is different than what is funny in a rehearsal space with people in the space who already know the structure of the play, which is different than people who have never, ever seen it before with an audience. And that is enjoyable. I mean, I guess it's really fun to have that that discovery, that sort of three-tiered discovery process in a piece is a thrill and is even more beneficial with a new play, right? Like something that is brand new and nobody's ever done before feels closer to sketch comedy than anything else.
100%. And I would imagine that I wasn't able to make it on the press night, but according to the reviews, the audience was going insane. And on the night we were there, I have to apologize on behalf of my audience because I thought we were pretty crappy. So I imagine for you, that's slightly easier for you and your character to gauge your performance based on how much or how little the audience is giving you.
Yes. I mean, I really do love the science of it, of comedy. And because there are sometimes when, yes, an audience will be like raucous and really, really vocal, really like responding to the jokes right away. But then you also have audiences that are a little more subdued and listening differently. And then other jokes hit better because they are, because there's space for them to appreciate the buildup of an idea. Right. One of the clear ones that I witness is the is the Monsignor and I, the second Monsignor scene when I'm really having much doubt, and he starts building the idea of, you know, when I recite the Nicene Creed, I feel these things. And he's like building this story about that all faiths matter is basically what it sounds like he's trying to say. And then the punchline is that I'm so happy knowing that I'm in the faith that is the right one. Right. And the audience is just like, blah, they just like laugh out loud. And so the other day, the audience started laughing at each of the steps towards the joke. And so then the punchline of the joke actually didn't hit the way that it did with other ones. So it's so interesting to watch something develop and something be set up and then knocked down. That's a real thrill. And I honestly love an audience that's like either in like vocal or not vocal. I think it's always so fascinating how to adjust to their responses.
Well, and it's such an old fashioned kind of comedy too. I mean, I don't think of Chicago as being a particularly Catholic town, but boy, if you were playing this in Boston.
I mean, I honestly, I'm so curious how this piece would apply. I think the Boston crowd, like, you know, like the deeply Irish Catholic general Catholic group would have a thrill. Like, my wife is Irish Catholic, and I think she and her siblings would eat this show up. But also I lived around a lot as a kid. For a big chunk of time, I was in the Quad Cities, in Moline, Illinois, and that's where I was baptized. I wasn't raised Catholic. We were raised Baptist. So like less guilt, more tambourines. And my pastor who baptized me came to the show for opening night. And it was a thrill. It was a thrill to watch him watch the show. And he adored it. He really loved it because I think the show is really, it's poking fun at things, but it's also having a conversation about religion. And I wouldn't say that the show is deeply cynical towards religion. I think it's looking for answers.
Yeah.
So I think it's not evil in its sort of setting up of these jokes. It's trying to elicit a response.
Well, and Jason's character is slimy and evil as shown to the audience, even as we're walking in, because it's the audience sees his office and he is pictured with Elon Musk. I think it's Putin and Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy Giuliani, yeah.
So, oh, okay, I get who Jason's playing.
Yeah.
And yet his crisis of faith is genuine and his pursuit of, I guess, a kind of redemption is sincere, and that's easy to root for.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I think that's the way into this play, is that it really, it's interesting. Rob Ulin, our playwright, wrote two plays. I mean, he wrote a play first about a really shitty guy. that experiences a near-death experience, but in the journey on the other side of that, you see him, you see the questions of like, what is it to be a good person? What is our responsibility to our fellow man? What is faith? You know, these questions really take off in the second half of the piece.
And despite that description, it's also really funny.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, I really don't know how he did it. I mean, it's such a razor's edge type of show to both have this high comedy and this debate about faith.
Yeah.
But somehow he pulls it off.
Hello, I must be going. I'm Frank Ferrante, creator and star of An Evening with Groucho, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This fall of 2024, we'll be performing the special election edition of The Complete History of America Abridged in Illinois, Maryland, Virginia, Kentucky, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Colorado. We'll have specific venues and dates up on our website very soon. Check out the touring page at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with Daniel Breaker, who appears in the world premiere comedy Judgment Day at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater through this Sunday, June 2nd, 2024. Speaking of being funny, what was delightful about seeing Hamilton finally live on stage after knowing the album for several years, and additionally getting to see you as Aaron Burr, you brought so much more comedy and wit than I heard in Leslie Odom's performance on the album. Is that something that you always knew was there, or is that another thing? Aaron Burr's humor, did you find that in the room?
Yes, I found it in the room. What was great about that project is that Tommy Cale and the team, when I joined, I was allowed to bring my own take on it. I didn't have to do what the people before me had done. And so that was really free. That really freed me up to approach this with fresh eyes. I think naturally I like to find the wit in something, in circumstances or experiences, but I also think finding the funny in Aaron Burr really helps his decline into jealousy and envy as the show goes on. I really enjoyed that fall, that he is somebody who could also be the president of the United States. He could be a world leader. He is, you know, he is magnetic, right? Yeah. But to watch him fail and fail and fail, I think kicks up, justifies this desire to go to a duel.
That's really interesting, because in many ways because he's able to find wit and humor in things, his fall is perhaps even greater.
Yeah, it's like it's humorless. Yeah, it's humorless is his fall.
Yes, he loses that ability to find the distance necessary for humor.
Yeah.
That's really powerful. Yeah, it was magnificent. And conversely, I imagine when you sign on to do a musical version of a character originated by Eddie Murphy in a film, that also gives you a clue about what kind of performance it needs to be.
Yeah. Well, so what's interesting about that time is that I had never seen Shrek, and I didn't see it until I finished the play.
Wow.
But it's like, I knew what it was. I have an understanding of what it was and the style of it. But, I really dove into that character. I mean, I'm such a big Eddie Murphy fan, so I wasn't necessarily playing Eddie Murphy. I was playing like a version of my mother, one of my friends, and Claire Huxtable from The Cosby Show. Like, it was like some strange combination of characters that just sort of like manifest themselves in some strange way. But it was also fun to do that show, because it was such a, you know, I just had my, you know, my first child was born, was only a few weeks old when I got the job. So I was delirious. And I think that worked really well for Donkey. I think it applied nicely in my like lack of sleep.
Deprivation doesn't go away until the fourth or fifth year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And then there's a whole other type of sleep deprivation of like worrying about your child's development, or you know, like my kid's in his teens, and so now I'm going into like that level of sleep deprivation of like college and the future and like going out into the world.
I love that your Donkey had maternal impulses. That's a great insight into the character I'd never considered.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, who'd have thunk it? It's like I guess it's because I'm a mama's boy. I just like that's my first step in.
Have you ever met or worked with Felicia Rashad and able to share that with her?
Oh man, I haven't shared that with her, but Felicia and I are friends. Yeah, we did a play at Lincoln Center together. We did a Shakespeare. We did Cymbeline, with a whole like list of folks. It was like Jonathan Cake, Martha Plimpton, Michael Cerveris. I mean, it was like a casting director just like threw a bunch of headshots on a floor and then somebody walked across it and they like cast everybody in it. But it was a big one. But then Felicia and I did, we worked on The Good Fight together. Mm. And Felicia at one point was one of my regulars at my Thanksgiving. So when I was on Broadway, and I was on Broadway for such a long time, and there were, you know, Thanksgiving is the least available day because it's a busy week and we have that Thursday off. We got two shows on Wednesday, two shows on Friday, right? So I would throw this, what I used to call an orphan's Thanksgiving, people who didn't have anywhere to go, didn't have anything to do. So it was always like a friends and family, more friends than family type of Thanksgiving. And Felicia was a regular at that event, which was a lot of fun. And then I just saw her at opening of the show she directed, Purpose, at Steppenwolf, which is the next great American play. And we're going to see that thing across the nation. We're going to see it in LA. We're going to see it on Broadway. It would be shocking if we didn't see this thing on Broadway for a long run with a Pulitzer and then go out to London and travel and blah, blah, blah. It's a phenomenal production.
100%. We saw that. It was a privilege to see that next great American play. Oh my
yeah.
God.
Yeah, yeah, truly, truly. But she's good people. I really, you know, I've been working with her daughter, Condola, on Billions for 3 years. So we've like, she's like part of the family.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds. So stick around. The world premiere of Judgment Day, starring Jason Alexander and my guest Daniel Breaker, closes this Sunday, June 2nd, 2024, at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater. Go to chicagoshakes.com for more information. Then send us your crisis of faith via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks, as always, to Practicing Catholic Until He Gets It Right, Matthew Croak. Web services by Ginger Power Limited. Music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Bradley Johnson. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Frank Ferrante, creator and star of An Evening with Groucho. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 912 2736th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. I'm thrilled to get to talk to you. Thank you for giving me your time on a morning off. My fervent wish and dream is to be invited to one of your meals.
Okay, great. Next time I'm in Chicago, you'll should make your way.
Thank you, sir.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.